Let's bring in a guy who we haven't had on the show in so long, good friend of mine, Brent Jones, who we're going to make him feel old here because he remembers when Kyle was the ball boy with the team back in just a baby. How are you, Brent?
Pop, great to hear your voice, buddy.
How are you, man? Fonte, we used to go to Sharks games all the time, and Brent would be going crazy with his wife and daughters there watching the Sharkies. I don't see you out there as much anymore, my friend.
You know, hadn't been around the Sharks as much, get to a couple games a season, but still a huge fan, as you know, and it's great to be on with Fonte as well. In fact, I might have to throw him out a free agent contract. I think he could come in and start for
you
going to
sign him away?
Right now.
I could use a check. I
just
get
signed
here,
him
Brent.
As a free agent. How many more years you got, Fonte? He's going nowhere.
Yeah,
that works, Pop.
I'm still
tampering.
Broke,
I'm tampering.
Show
Stay
me
away
the buddy,
from. I'm not
Brent.
Even going to let you talk.
Show
Brent,
me the buddy.
No, I'm not even going to let you come on the air if you're going to tamper with my guy. We're not going to do that. But jump in. We were talking about Kyle Shanahan, and we heard him. And I think the one thing was he was kind of, you know, lost in the call sheet a little bit. But that's a hard transformation. Did Bill Walsh do that? I remember Walsh kind of, you know, George Seifert ran the defense. But did Coach Walsh kind of get lost a little bit as well?
You know, it's hard to say that Bill got lost, and he might have early on in his career. And by the time I got there, it was a refined system, and we had the coordinators up in the box calling down plays. And if Bill agreed with it, he'd roll with it. And if not, you know, he would say, "Hey, how about we do this?" And so, you know, the great thing about Kyle is he was refreshingly honest. You don't get that very much from NFL head coaches, and so. The preseason, I think, is going to be important for him to kind of get the functionality going and the logistics on just the way that they want to get plays in and do that. And of course, we had a multitude of penalties during the game, and I just think the pace was a little different. It's just a typical sloppy preseason game, but it'll be good for him as well. And so it's just going to take a little getting used to, I think, from his new role as HC.
Yeah, three-time Super Bowl champion, four-time Pro Bowler Brent Jones joining us on the Afternoon Delight with Pop and Bonta here at 95.7 The Game. So go back to when he was just a kid, when he was a ball boy with your Niners teams of the mid-90s. What do you remember about the baby Kyle Shanahan, Brent?
Well, you know, Kyle was always a heck of an athlete, and he would come around and, you know, Mike was our offensive coordinator at the time. And, you know, Kyle was that perfect age, 14, 15, 16, where, you know, we'd pick on him, we'd make him do things, we'd make him do rookie things. And he had just such a great attitude, and he was always engaged, a fun kid to have around. And he would, you know, jump through any hoop. And so he was always hustling around the practices, working with the equipment guys, doing stuff for the film room afterwards. And so he was just a fun kid to have around. In fact, so much so that Steve Young and myself, even a few other guys, went out to a couple of his high school games along the way just to watch him. And he always was a big performer. And so it was great to see that a young man that's just been immersed in football has had such great success. I think you talked about his play calling prowess, and he's just fun to watch get going. I watched a lot of the Falcons games over the years, and so hopefully he can have some of that same momentum and tempo with calling the 49er plays as well.
Yeah, I've been watching him for years. I think he's really good in what he did with RG3 in Washington, you know, was able to tailor that offense around him. I think he really is a jewel. Now he's got to make the transformation. But, you know, going back to when he was just a kid, you know, Derek Carr talks about, you know, growing up around his brother and watching game film when he was 12. Can you imagine being Mike Shanahan's son and loving football the way Kyle does and just being around your dad, who was such a great, you know, play caller, play designer back in the day? When you watch Kyle play even high school football as a wide receiver, did he play smart just being around the game at such a high level, Brent?
Absolutely, he did, Pop. And, you know, I remember a big catch that he made and just remarking to ourselves, like, how did he just – be able to pull that off, come out of that break and make that catch. Steve and I were there watching him. And being a coach's son is such a huge advantage. You're just immersed in football, and especially if you embrace it. And just think at that age to be around, you know, a world champion football team. And so he had a lot of things built in and going for him. But even that doesn't give you the desire to learn and to understand the coaching dynamics and to, you know, put in your time and pay your dues all through the system, even though he had that great name, great last name, Shanahan. And Mike, I guarantee it was one of the best. Kyle had to earn his way. And you know what? When he has had his opportunities, he's performed admirably. And so it's not one of those deals where just because he had the last name Shanahan, he was given things. He's actually worked his way up and has been so impressive. And it's funny because he looks so darn, I mean, he looks like he's 22 years old. So it's sometimes you think, gosh, darn, he's such a young kid. But he's been around a while. And like you mentioned, he's been immersed in it, played the game, and has just been taking full advantage of having his dad be who he is.
Yeah, he's 37 now, and when he was in his early 20s is when he broke into coaching, a great assistant at UCLA, and then John Gruden took him to Tampa, where I think he learned a lot as an offensive quality control coach. But, you know, I've been watching him as a play designer, play caller for years, going back to his time with Gary Kubiak in Houston. So I knew he could dial it up, but he just had... And I kind of used this word last week, Bonte. We were talking about Jay Cutler, snarky. Just a little bit like this young punk knows everything, and he knows everything, and how's he going to relate to athletes? When he was a young guy, did he have that sense that I am the coach's son, or would he mix in well even as a young guy, Brent?
You know what, Pop? He mixed in great, and I think that's what drew everybody to him, because he didn't have attitude. He didn't walk around like, yeah, I'm the coach's son, and that's why it was fun, you know, picking on him or doing some of the, you know, the rookie stunts that we pull with some of the rookies, and he just had such a great disposition, and I think that's it probably helped carry him, because he can relate to the players. The players love him. And when you have an aggressive play caller and he's dialing up plays, I mean, that's everybody on the offense loves that. And obviously there are times where he can be super aggressive. And as a player, you love that. And certainly guys have been able to relate to him. And so he never really had that air of, hey, I'm special, or I have a certain privilege because I'm the head coach's son. Or the offensive coordinator's son when it was Mike with our squad. But no, he was super approachable, just a good kid, hard worker. And, you know, he's achieved everything more or less as a self-made man.
Brent, when you played, and I remember watching you play with Steve Young and Jerry Rice, this franchise was known as San Francisco 49ers from top to bottom as a class organization. It was a trickle-down effect, as we see with the Golden State Warriors right now, from the owner to the GM to the head coach. Now with John Lynch here, Kyle Shanahan, it seems like Jed York is getting back to that. After some rough years, I know I disagree with the Harbaugh firing and the dealings with Trent Baalke, but it seems like they finally got it right, Jed York, that is. They didn't leak anything. We had no idea they were going to hire John Lynch. It kind of came out of left field. This organization seems like it's now getting back to that, where there's some actual structure within those walls down there in Santa Clara, Brent.
Well, Vontae, I think you nailed it, and it's funny. You know, we've had some speed bumps over the last few years, and maybe some even more than speed bumps. But I think Jed righted the ship this offseason, and the John Lynch thing was out of nowhere. And I think people were starting to circle in on Kyle Shanahan, but the combination, I think, is superb. And I know John personally, and just kind of the character and the ability to communicate and not only make quality decisions, some common sense decisions, which I think had escaped our organization for the last 4 or 5 years. So just getting those guys on board is going to improve this team. And you know, it's funny. I hearken back to the Raiders were struggling there for a few years, were a little rudderless, and they hired Reggie McKenzie.
A few years, Brent? A few years?
Okay, Pop, I'm being generous there. But I'm a big Reggie fan. I ran into him right after he got hired, and I was like, man, just stay the course, buddy, because just making common sense moves and just being a man of character, they're going to do things the right way, and that's going to help your ball club long term. And then, you know, I'm a big Jack Del Rio fan as well. And so just having Jack in and have had the opportunity to know of Jack when I was in high school, know about him at SC, follow his career, knew that he was a big baseball stud as well. And then the opportunity to play against him and spend some time with him. It's great to see. And for me, and you guys can hear it in my voice, I love when both Bay Area teams are good. And obviously my allegiance is to the 49ers, but had a lot of friends over the years in the Raiders organization, whether it's at the coaching level or the players level or anything. It's just, it's nice when both teams are good because we want quality football in the Bay Area. And so it's been a blast to watch the Raiders. And man, when Derek got hurt last year, I was just crushed. I was in a funk. And there's very few ex-49ers that are angry when the Raiders quarterback gets hurt typically. And so it wrecked my whole playoff season because I thought the Raiders were going to go awful far. And so excited for my former team to kind of be back in the mix. And I don't know if playoffs are in the cards for us. We still have some rebuilding to do, but you know, I think we can win 7 or 8 games this year just with some common sense approach. We've got some ball players and kind of get back, playing the way that we used to play.
Yeah, listen to you talk about Jack Del Rio. You guys are almost the same age. Did you play against him at high school at all, Brent?
Exactly. Well, Jack was All-State super stud, and I was on the bench, Pop, so I didn't really play against him. But I darn well knew who Jack Del Rio was. He's probably the most famous high school player of my generation. And then I was actually hoping to go to USC to play baseball, and Jack was down there playing baseball, and he was the guy that, like, I wanted to be the next Jack Del Rio. So the path kind of changed for me, and fortunately so, but have followed his career and have got a chance to know him, and he's just such a quality guy and such a smart guy. And, you know, one of the things that's so rare is in the NFL to have a head coach that's played at the highest levels, that knows the inner workings of being on the field, being in the huddle, competing at the highest levels. And I think that just gives him such a huge advantage. And it's just it's great to see a friend doing so well in the Bay Area.
Yeah, he's a good guy. And a mutual friend of ours came down to see me on Saturday. They went to play baseball with him at USC. And I was reminded, you know, he caught Randy Johnson. He played with Mark McGwire and Randy. He caught Randy Johnson at USC as a baseball player. He was a hell of a catcher.
That's pretty impressive. And darn right he was. The guy was just a ridiculously great athlete. And I think people forget the baseball side of him. But, you know, at SC, he was the golden child, and certainly at Hayward as well prior to that.
You know, we are joined by the 49er, great three-time Super Bowl champion, four-time Pro Bowler, one of the great blocking tight ends and also pass catching. Could do it all, Brent Jones on the Afternoon Delight with Pop and Bonta here in 95.7 The Game. You were talking about, you know, as a player, having a guy that played at the highest level and how you know, maybe he could relate to the players a little better and how important that is, which leads me to the 49ers adding Katie Sowers to their coaching staff today. And Katie is a young lady. You may have seen her on the broadcast over the weekend. She was standing right behind Kyle Shanahan throughout the game, very close to him, and they do have a relationship from Kyle's days with the Atlanta Falcons. And you know, as far as her football acumen, you know, why couldn't she learn the game? And I think she's a serious, and she played the game. She was a GM in some leagues, so she knows personnel, and now she's been added to the staff, the second overall female to be on a coaching staff. So everything you said, and I know you so well, and your daughters were great soccer players. You've been around women's athletics. How do you think a female as a member of a coaching staff can relate to a group of men, Brent, in the NFL?
Well, it's a great question, Pop, and it's funny because Katie, I have not met her, but she looks dang serious, and a lot of the feedback that I've heard kind of behind the scenes is she is tremendously well-respected on the field, and so why not? You said at this day and age, we're in 2017, why not? I've come across a lot of female football fans that know a heck of a lot more than most of the guys that I hang around with. And so I'm not surprised at all. You make a great point. What are the dynamics from, you know, the 25-year-old players that kind of look and say, well, you know, has she ever played the game? But if she comes in with the type of attitude and the type of mentality that she knows what she's talking about, players, and if she proves that, which everything I've heard she has, players are going to respect her. And if she starts coaching, and obviously it was an interim position before, I think, in training camp, and the official spot for her is got to be tremendously exciting. But now, you know, now it's not just training camp. Now it's the season. So it'll be interesting to see how things go. But my expectations, once the season starts, is that she'll continue to grow as a coach and most likely shine. It'll be interesting to hear how some of the players, though, react, because it is a little different. But like I said, it's not surprising this day and age.
Yeah, players that are as open-minded as you wouldn't have a problem. But if there's a few guys in the locker room that are just, that's the whole thing about, you know, when you bring up these issues, and she's going to have to prove herself. But do you ever see a woman, and you know, Becky Hammon in San Antonio with Pop has been talked about, and the commissioner of the NBA, Adam Silver, has said he'd like to have a female head coach in the NBA. Do you ever see that happening either in the three main sports, basketball, football, or baseball, where a female like Katie Sowers or whomever could ascend to the role of manager or head coach?
Well, I think if you have the background and you've earned it, I think that there's going to come a day where we're going to see that. And the reality is, the personal relationship side is going to probably be the biggest challenge between, you know, the current crop of athletes in their 20s and a female head coach. But I think from a smarts perspective, from an experience perspective, you're going to start seeing more and more women get some of that experience and have the capabilities of being a successful coach. And maybe some of the temperament of a female head coach maybe could be a positive. And I don't know, just because I haven't had the opportunity to have a female coach along the way. But I was thinking to myself, well, if Katie was the tight end coach and fought for me and I got three more balls a game, she'd be my favorite coach. So that's the reality. And Vontae knows this. If your coach is fighting for you, and if your coach is directing you and making you better and improving you as a ball player, you're going to love that coach.
Yeah.
So why not?
Be fascinating to see. I think it's a great development, and we'll keep an eye on Katie Sowers. And she was right behind Kyle Shanahan throughout the broadcast on Friday night, and she was intense. Speaking of tight end coaches, Brent Ponte was a really good one at Monta Vista out in the East Bay, and he's the one that turned me on to Zach Ertz years and years ago when Zach was just a sophomore in high school. And I think a lot of your tutelage has gotten him to the level where he's at, where you can make the point he's one of the best tight ends in pro football now.
Well, I think he's really come a long way at Pop, and he's had a few injuries and a few coordinator changes and a few quarterback changes. But I know this offseason he worked as hard as he ever has, and I think he's got something going there with Carson Wentz. So I think it could be potentially special, a special season for him. But, yeah, he was a basketball player, and the coaching staff at Monta Vista asked if I'd like to come over and help coach him, and he hadn't played varsity yet. And you know what? I was darn tough on him, Greg. And Vontae, I was challenging him on and off the field, and he responded really well. And so now I can sit around and take full credit. But I will say this. I called Harbaugh 6 games after his junior year. He broke his wrist. And I said, Jim, you better offer this kid a full ride, because this time next year, everybody's going to be recruiting him. So to his credit, Jim did, and they did a great job of developing him at Stanford, and he had some great coaches at Monta Vista as well. And I'm not talking about myself. So he's become a real hard worker, and it's just great to see a guy that had no idea that he would even play in college, you know, out there succeeding on the professional level now.
Yeah, Craig Berg bringing in our friend Chris Babcock, coach him over at
Monta Vista.
They do a great job. Babs is your guy.
Those guys are good men.
All right, Brent. Thank you for your time, man. Family's all good. Everybody's doing well.
Everybody's doing great, Pop, and I appreciate it. And it's great talking to both you guys. And Vontae, I'm serious. I'm going to be checking in with the Niners. I of all the things, I'm most worried about our defensive backfield. So
I don't know if I could play corner. I can't move my hips like I could 10 years ago, but I'll give it a try.
I'm not sure we have anybody that can move their hips any
better. Oh, man. Take care, Brent.
Thanks, Brent.
All right, guys.
Thank you, brother. So he wants to lure you away, not as a broadcaster, as a player.
That's